In the beginning of Parshat Bechukosai, the Torah has, as you know, a series of brachos. We'll just read the first few psukim. In Bechukosai Teilechu, Be'es Mitzvosai Tishmeru, Va'asisim Osam. If we follow the chukim of Hashem, so the Torah then describes what seems to be almost an ideal, an idyllic description of brachos that will read down to us. V'nasati gishmechem be'itam, the Torah speaks about rain that will fall in its time. V'nas maharet zivula ve'etz ha'sada yitem piryo. Agriculturally, it will also be an ideal situation in Eretz Yisrael. V'hisig lachem da'ish es batzir uvatzir yasig es zara. In terms of the harvest, it will be plentiful. V'achaltum lachmechem asova v'shaptum levetach v'yartzichem. We'll dwell in Eretz Yisrael in peace and harmony. There will not be an issue as there is in the last, since probably the founding of the state, people literally cowering in terror because of fear of terrorism and sterile. People can't sleep at night because of Rachman Lutzan, possibility of rockets coming into their midst. And the Torah continues, you'll pursue your enemies in Pasuk Zayin and Ches, and Pasuk Ches sums it up. Ufanisi aleichem, behifreisi eschem, behibesi eschem, vakimosi esbrisi eschem. So it's an ideal situation. As you know, the Chukosai is the culmination of the Sefer that focuses on Kedusha. The first half is devoted to Karbonos, beginning of Ayikra, and then you have Tuma Vitara, and then the second half deals with, starting from Parshas Emor, the Kedusha Samoadim, and suddenly in the Parsha of Acharemos there is a very frightening and stark tragedy which is disclosed to Klal Yisrael, namely the possibility of going into exile, of going into Golos. If you look for a moment in the Parsha at the end of Acharemos and the end of Kedoshim, you will see it very clearly. If you have the Chumash in front of you, which would be helpful to bring. At the end of Acharemos, in Perek Yitzchak, Pasuk Chav Ches, the Torah says, it speaks about Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, adapting some of the mores of the Umos HaOlam, and as a result, it says, V'lo Saki Haaretz Eschem B'Tamachem Osa, Perek Yitzchak, Pasuk Chav Ches, the land is going to spew you forth. Kasher Koas HaGoy HaShel Lefnechem. Just as it spewed forth the nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, once they began to engage in all kinds of abominable activities, and that language is a very unusual language, very striking. The land will spew you forth. The similar idea is found at the end of Parshas Kedoshim. Look at the end of Kedoshim, for those who have the Chumash. The end of Kedoshim, again, the Torah repeats this idea. It says, literally, the end of the Parsha. In Perek Chof, Pasuk Chof Beis, ושמרתם את כל חוקותי ואת כל משפטי ועשיתם אותם ולא סוקי אתכם בארץ אשר אני מביא אתכם שמה לשבת בו. Again, the same idea that Eretz Yisrael will spew you forth. What is fascinating here, and this is pointed out by Rashi and by the Ramban, especially as we'll mention in a while, the Torah emphasizes that our being expelled from Eretz Yisrael is not a special onus imposed on us due to our technological ineptitude. That's not the case. It's not an onus imposed upon us due to our inability to govern the land properly, to administer the land properly. That is not the case. But rather, as Rashi says, it's a natural phenomena. As a result of certain behavior patterns, Rashi indicates that, and Ramban really spells this out at great length, Eretz Yisrael eina sovelet ovri avera. Eretz Yisrael doesn't have the ability to weather, to tolerate avayonim, people who are transgressors and sinners. Eretz Yisrael, Rashi compares it to a delicate digestive system. If a person is on a particular, very special diet, a person has to be extremely cautious and very careful and very circumspect about what he eats and anything which, of course, is not in sync with that diet could, Rachmana Litzlan, be injurious and can obviously be detrimental and deleterious to his health. That's exactly how the Torah presents the idea of observing chukim and mishpatim, observing the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael, is similar to someone who has a special diet, a delicate digestive system, and knows that the only way that he will be able to flourish and the only way he'll be able to maintain his health is by being extremely careful. And therefore, what's very fascinating, in Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah now, as you know, Bechukosai contains brachos at the very beginning, and then Chas V'Shalom, klalos, as you look again, look in Perichot Vav now, beginning Bechukosai, Pasuk Yudalit, after the introduction, the preamble, which has in it a rather ideal and idyllic description of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, as I mentioned a moment ago, v'imlos ishmuli in pasuk yudalei. If you don't observe or listen, v'los asu, it's called mitzvah se'ela v'imlechukosai timasu. If you reject and look upon the mitzvahs with disdain and contempt, and then the word is fascinating, v'imes mishpatai tigal nafshechem. What's that particular verb the Torah uses? Tigal. What does that mean? I'm sorry. With an ayin. Tigal. Lashon gi'ul. Reject. From the lashon of hagala. Hagala, as you would say. What does hagala refer to? We have two svaradim tahorim, or maybe more actually. Yes, we have more. Hagala. What does hagala mean? When you go ahead and take a kli, and what do you do with the kli? You immerse it, correct, in the ritual area. And why do you do so? You do so in order to... You want to extirpate, you want to exorcise, not ex-er, but ex-or. You want to basically remove any foreign element that was absorbed by that particular kli. Tarfis and the like, correct? Chayfov. Anyway, so in order to do so, you have to do hagala. And that comes from the lashon of gi'ul. So what does gi'ul mean? A foreign object. That's what the Rishonim point out, and that's the language of the pasuk. V'imes mishpatai tigal nafshechem. And the Torah uses this language, as I said, a number of times. Very revealing. Now, if you learn the Ramban here, which you must, because in order to be Jewish, you have to learn the Ramban. But let me just show you one other passage just to indicate to you, to accentuate the fact that this language is, again, used and reiterated many times. Look in Perachot Vav, Pasuk Lamed. There the Torah says, it describes, there's a word which I'm going to discuss in a few moments, Hashem is going to destroy all your so-called temples in Pasuk Lamed. And then it says, V'nasatis pigreichem al pigrei gilulechem v'gal al nafshi eschem. You ever heard that expression? Gal nefesh. In Hebrew, they use it in the modern Hebrew today. Something which is despicable, repugnant, repulsive. Gal nefesh. And that's language of lo tigal nafshi eschem. Gi'ul hagala. It's a very striking language that the Torah uses over here. And as I said, it's used a number of times. Now the Ramban has a very famous thesis, and throughout his Perush al Torah, but at great, great length in this week's Parsha. Rabban is just expatiating on and discusses this expansively in this week's Parsha, and his whole, it would be kedai to learn this week's Parsha, the Ramban, and spend an entire year learning the Ramban and Parsha of Kodesh. The same idea is mentioned elsewhere, but the Ramban really here spells it out in great detail. Ramban points out that all the aforementioned areas of Kedusha that we spoke about, namely found in the beginning of Vayikra, Karbanos, or the Pasha of Negoyim, that's found in Tazria Metzora, Tumah Vatara, Moadim, what do all these reflect? They reflect the distinctive nexus, connection between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. We have a special relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. The Tumah Dvara, I assume you're familiar with that Sefer, it's a beautiful Sefer, Sfaradim probably, you're certainly familiar with him. Tumah Dvara, Slicha, on my mispronunciation. Anyway, so the Talmud Dvara written by Moshe Cordovero, who of course comes from which city? The rarefied city of Safed. So those who are near Miron, it's not far. Anyway, so he, the Talmud Dvara, an absolutely gorgeous Sefer, so he calls us the Sher Basra Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. We are his relatives. There is consanguinity between the Almighty and Knesset Yisrael and the Jewish people. We are his Krovei Mishpacha, correct? And therefore, the nations of the world, says the Ramban, going back to the Ramban, operate under what he calls the Hashkacha Klolus, a very general kind of divine providence and divine guardianship. However, we have a favorite son status, namely, the Hashkacha that exists vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael is not a hashkacha klalus, but rather a hashkacha pratis. And obviously, the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater is the sense of hashkacha that exists. I assume you're aware of that. The Ramban in Chumash Keseder speaks about this concept. The Ramban has a pasuk that he quotes, Raglei Chassidav Yishmar. The Almighty guards his chassidim. Someone who's a chassid. Chassid means someone who's close to Hashem is Barach. So he's under a more palpable kind of hashkacha. It works in both directions. Ben Vato, Ben Muta, which means that obviously Hashem is more connected with him. The sense of hashkacha that exists vis-a-vis that person is much greater than vis-a-vis anyone else. But at the same time, there's also a greater sense of responsibility of achrayus. So it works in both directions. Whatever the case is, the Ramban extends this idea at great length. And here the Ramban is found right here, and this is Parsha B'chukosai. The Ramban says, where is this hashkacha felt most palpably? Namely, this connection between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, or Hashem and the Jewish people, it's felt most palpably where? In what country? Obviously in Eretz Yisrael. And we see that in this week's Parsha. Because the Torah says, again, look at the beginning of B'chukosai. For those who have the Chumash, it's very clear. It says, in B'chukosai Teilechu, V'yas Mitzvosai Tishvru V'asis Moksam, V'nasati Gishmechem B'itam, V'nas Taharet Yivulah. What does the Eretz refer to? Eretz Yisrael. Ve'etasadeh Yitin Piryo. And again, in Pasuk Kei. V'achaltum Lachmichem Asova, V'shaptum Lavetach V'yartzechem. Where's V'yartzechem? Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Vav. V'nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. Where is that? Eretz Yisrael. V'shbat Yichaya Rabin Ha'aretz. Where is that? Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban here speaks of, and that's what he talks about, a hashkocha nisit. A hashkocha which is the Mala Midara Chateva. The relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, it's an idyllic portrait. That's what the Ramban writes at the beginning of the Chukosai, of the people who will live in total harmony with their neighbors, who will not suffer from a panoply of dreadful diseases, but will enjoy personal health. And the Ramban goes on to describe people who will be ensconced where weather conditions will always be ideal, where agricultural conditions will lead to prosperity and fruitfulness. And the Ramban says it will not be an isolated series of events that occur periodically, but rather the stress, the Ramban says, will be tamid. What does tamid mean? On an ongoing kind of basis, bavin kavua. That's the relationship that we can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that speaks, or if you will, reflects unequivocally the Yad Hashem. And the Hashkacha, the miraculous Hashkacha that Hashem demonstrates towards Klal Yisrael. That's what the Ramban writes here in the Chukosai. And the truth is that this idea, the Ramban, is already adumbrated earlier in an earlier parsha in the Torah. I don't know if you're aware of it, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but I'll make you aware of it. In the parsha Lech Lecha, if you remember a famous Rashi, when Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, Vayotze Oso Achutza, do you remember that? Hashem takes Avraham Avinu outside and tells him, Habet Na Shamayma, look up, and correct. Usra kochavim in tuchal usvarotam. Bayom alo kol yezarecha. That's what Hashem tells him. So Rashi comments over there. Rashi has a very striking and very famous comment. What does that mean? Habed na shamayim. It's found in Perek Tesvav of Lech Lecha. Pasuk. Hey. Rashi says. Vayetzei oso achutza. The simple pshat is, he told him to leave his tent and look at the stars. But Rashi quotes the Medrash. Tzei mi'itzagnina shalcha. What does that mean? Leave, shall we say, itzagninut. What is that? It refers to the work of necromancy and necromancers and magicians and sorcerers and what have you that you saw in the mazal. You saw the mazal of the signs of the zodiac. You will not be zochet to a son. Yes, that's true, Hashem says. Avram will have no son, but Abraham will have a son. Or, as Chazal put it in a different kind of way, in a very famous stira that Chazal asked, it's mentioned by the Ramban already in the Chedushim on Shabbos, mentioned by the Ramban in Chumash, there's a statement of Chazal that says, Ein mazal be Yisrael. What does that mean? Literally translated, we have no mazal. On the other hand, there's a Zohar in Parshas Yisrael, since Yesh Po Kama Sfaradim Torim, Tuchim Letatet Zohar, especially Alag Baomer, Yulul the Rashbi. So the Zohar says, Hakol Tolid b'mazol, afilu seva tarasha b'eichal. Anyone ever heard that Zohar? What is Zohar? Everything depends on mazal, even what? Hasevet Torah Shebeicha. What does that mean? It means the following. Sometimes you have a shul which has 38 Sifrei Torah. I encountered such a shul. And they told me that every time they learn, they use the same two Sifrei Torah years and years and years. What are the other Sifrei Torah used only once a year, namely? Simchat Torah. And Simchat Torah, the other Sifrei Torah used, but so how did they come to these two? Mazel. Hakol Talib Mazal. Avilu Sifrei Torah Shebeichal. So how do you reconcile these two conflicting desiderata? On the one hand, we say, Ein Mazal Yisrael, that we have no Mazel. On the other hand, Hakol Talib Mazal. So the Ramban answers the kasha. What does the Ramban say? In many places he says it. In the Chuvas Ramban. In the Parish Ramban al Torah. In the Chiddush Ramban al Shas. Anywhere you go, you'll find this Ramban. What does the Ramban say? What does it mean? Ein Mazal Yisrael? We are beyond the Mazalos. We are not subject to the Zodiac. The world is subject to the Zodiac. The world is subject to Teva. The world operates B'derach HaTeva. Klal Yisrael does not operate B'derach HaTeva. We operate only how? L'malam B'derach HaTeva. Hashem has his own, shall we say, Hanhoga with Klal Yisrael. This is the Ramban throughout his Perush al HaTorah. Unbelievable Ramban. But the Ramban says that that is true, but especially where? In what particular spot? In Eretz Yisrael. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, that's where this unbelievable, extraordinary, distinctive and incredible Ashkocha exists. How does Ramban know that? He has many interesting proofs to Ramban, and the Ramban sheet has to be examined separately in the course of the Ramban. But I'm telling this to you both in Klavi. The Ramban has a psukim because in Sefer Dvarim we know the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asha'enei Hashem Elokecha Ba. Mereshit Hashana Ad Acharit Shana. It's the land where Hashem Yisbarach is always to be found. The Hashkach of Hashem Yisbarach is a direct one in Eretz Yisrael. You know the Ramban Shita, that in other countries, the Ramban says Hashem, in effect, communicates with that country, so to speak, through some agent, through some governing body, through some malach, through some saraf, through some satrap, through some means of intervention, but in Hashem Yisbarach in Eretz Yisrael, it's a direct Hashkach. It's a direct phone call, and in Chutzar, it's always long distance, very long distance. So I just want to indicate what I always have thought, that all this concept of the Ramban is indicated by one word, and I want to share with you what I believe is Pashut. It's not explicit in the text, but I think if you read the text properly, as I like to do, you will find it. The Torah says in Pashut Lech Lecha, the Gemara says about Vasa Dabkuf, the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu was called Eretz Yisrael B'chazaka. You know, the Mishnah writes in Kedushin, it's also Mishnah about Vasa. How do you acquire Karka? B'keseh, B'shtar, B'chazaka. So the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael was acquired B'chazaka. How? So the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu, the Pasuk says, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Kumi salich ba'aretz, la'orka, u'l'rochba, ki l'chad nena. Says the Gemara, Avraham Avinu was coming to Eretz Yisrael B'chazaka. He walked the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, he traversed Eretz Yisrael, and as a result of that, he was coming to Eretz Yisrael B'chazaka. So which word is the critical word in that Pasuk? Kum hishalech ba'aretz. The word hishalech. Halicha. Somehow the Gemara assumes that Eretz Yisrael was not acquired through the normal channels of Ketishtar Chazaka. Somehow it was acquired how? Through Halicha. You are aware the Gemara says Yenik Subis. And this is always the source of a lot of interesting discussion. Namely, the Gemara says that what should a person do? It's a big mitzvah to walk Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael. I assume you're familiar with that Gemara. It says that someone who walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael will be zochah to what? Olam Haba. I remember many years ago, when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, 1971, I saw a gentleman who came with a kovat temple. You know what a kovat temple is? One of those kovaim they wear at the kotel. You know what I'm talking about? What kind of hat? A funky hat, correct. Excellently described. And the fellow clearly didn't have a clue what was going on, what it's all about, but obviously he was taken to the kotel, like all those Japanese chaps who come here all the time with their, shall we say, advanced cameras and the like. I'm sorry? That is unquestionably true. El Papa, the Holy See, and the Holy Pontiff,